Welcome to Sage Health On Call, your radical health radio call-in show about the latest and best in integrative health. The word integrative is used by those who combine smart technology of Western medicine with the wisdom of nature-based health traditions. Our guest today is noted curandera and psychiatric nurse Elena Avila. I'm Halima Christie, and our co-hosts today are Dr. Ruben Last, surgeon here in Albuquerque and on the board of the Endorphin Power Company, and Stephen Weiss, integrative medicine physician with a private practice here in Albuquerque and former director of the Treehouse Center for Integrative Medicine with Dr. Tarona Lodog. Yes. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning, all. The topic for discussion with Elena Avila and Dr. Stephen Weiss today is heart healing. Heart healing heart, curanderismo in the 21st century. For our new listeners, Sage Health On Call is a community health literacy program, providing an interactive forum for discussion and networking about the latest efforts using both old and new healthcare traditions. As we do on every second Sunday of the month here at KUNM, we invite you to join the conversation. The number for you to call in locally is 277-5866, and the out-of-area toll-free number to call is 1-877-899-5866.
Good morning, Ruben, Halima, and Elena. We are looking forward to be able to update with you about curanderismo, Elena, since we last spoke with you here on Sage Health On Call in May 2001. We've really come full circle, as you, Elena, were our very first guest here on Sage Health On Call. As you know, the last 40 years have produced extensive research showing that integrating alternative and indigenous health care with Western medicine provides transformational health improvement and often profound lifestyle changes. So, progressive health care providers are looking at the whole person now, body, mind, spirit, and environment.
Today we'll explore what curandismo has to offer us. The advances that Western medicine has made have also brought bureaucracy and technological interventions that can actually separate medicine from the people it serves and from nature itself. Disregard of our connection with nature, natural healing, and disconnection from each other can limit our ability to treat a large number of modern major health problems. It's a pleasure to have Elena Avila here on our show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
In 1999, you published your book, and I'm curious, it's now been 5 years. How has it been received? What are you working on now?
It's still selling very well. It's been translated into German, Spanish. It's published in the UK. It's still selling. I'm now working on my second book, Returning Full Circle, Returning to the Center is the working title. And curanderismo is flourishing, it's growing, and I have a lot of students who are nurses and doctors and social workers, massage therapists, so the interest in curanderismo has increased.
You're a nurse, and so you're familiar with both Western as well as curanderismo medicine. Could you define curanderismo for us and tell us a little about what you mean by curanderismo in the 21st century?
Well, cura means to heal, and it's also a name for a priest. So curanderismo is a medicine that is a mixture of the indigenous Indians that live in this continent, the Spaniards that conquered this continent, and the African slaves that were brought in. It is a sharing of the medicines. And so I grew up with curanderismo. My parents are a mixture of indigenous and Spanish blood. I'm of mixed race. And I grew up with the medicine. My grandmother was a curandera when she was in Mexico. My mother knew many of the remedies. And so I grew up in El Paso, Texas, in a very poor section of town. And so that was just what the community did when they needed healing. There was always a lady or a man that knew some of the remedies. It was not well received when I was growing up. It was looked at as old-fashioned by the larger society, And as I grew up, I realized that I should not even talk about it. So it went underground. I got married young, dropped out of high school, had a family, and always had an interest in medicine. I was always the little kid taking care of the neighborhood kids. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I wanted to be a nurse. And my instructor right away told me, since you're Hispanic, you would like for you to present a paper on curanderismo. And I was very insulted.
Really?
Yes. Like, how dare you? I have finally made it to the uh-huh. university.
Western at its best.
I have changed my name from Elena to Helen.
Uh-huh.
And what did you see in me? Why would I want know anything about that superstitious old-fashioned medicine?
Uh-huh.
So I went to the library and looked up the little that was written about it.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I could put something together and BS them, you know. And I saw stories of my past.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, mal aire. That's why my mother would make us come inside, because of the bad air. She didn't want us to get sick. Or mal ojo, that happens to pretty girls. And my sister got mal ojo, and I got envidia because I didn't get mal ojo. So then I didn't feel pretty. And all these memories started to come up. And that started my journey. I started to go to Juarez across the border and talk to curanderas, and that was it. That took my interest, and I went into an incredible Carlos Castañeda-type journey into curanderismo, into Mexico.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Oh, my goodness. I learned so many things. I was so naive in so many ways. I didn't know a good curandero from a bad one. Very gullible. It took many years of going to Mexico. I joined an Aztec tribe, and I became very interested in the way the Aztecs looked at medicine. I became an Aztec dancer, and I am still very drawn to the Aztec way of life and the Aztec medicine. But that was many years of going back and forth. I was finally able to discern what I felt was appropriate for me to bring back as a first-generation Chicana to the United States. I mean, in the meantime, I was also developing as a psychiatric nurse and working in hospitals. So it was a little schizophrenic life there for a while.
Yes.
But I finally came to a point after many years of experience of choosing the things that I liked about curanderismo and the things that I did not like. What I felt was a good curandero, a good curandera, and what I felt were charlatans and people that take advantage of other people. And so in the 80s, I left nursing. I became disillusioned and started to practice curanderismo in my home. And corazón cura corazón, heart heals heart, comes from the compassion that I saw from these curanderas and curanderos, the incredible compassion that they had, the desire to listen to people's stories, the desire to be of service to them, to include, always, always to include the soul and spirit of that individual. And I was very drawn to that, and that's how I went in my practice.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Sage Health on Call on KUNM FM. And our guest today is noted curandera, Elena Avila. Numbers to call and join us are in local Albuquerque, 277-5866. And if you are outside the area or listening to us online at KUNM.org, the toll-free number to call in is 1-877-899-5866. You mentioned several syndromes, malaria, enviada, mal ojo. What are these? How do they manifest? And do they have counterparts in Western medicine?
Well, they're folk diseases, and it's what just ordinary people notice about what makes us sick. And some of them I find have still have value. And for instance, envy. I have found that many of us in this society are very envious. We want the size 4 butt. We mostly women. We don't want to age. We men want hair. They don't like it when they start getting bald. So we start to look at the media. We start to look at the magazines, and we start to look at skinny people, young people, people with the, quote, perfect relationship, and we start to get envy. Now, envy is a normal emotion, but it can get twisted. In my book, Woman Who Glows in the Dark, I call it the twisted heart, because it really feels like that. Mm-hmm. Somebody gives you good news, you know, hi, Ruben, I just won the lottery. I'm rich. And I just found my soulmate. Uh-huh. I'm so happy. I'm going to quit my job and travel the whole world. And, and you might feel envious, and your grin might be kind of frozen, and you might say, God, Elena, that's great. But inside, you might be having bad thoughts about me. Like, look at her bragging, you know, like, shut up. It's a normal emotion, but people can go crazy. Mm-hmm. They can actually commit murder or commit suicide by
it. Yeah, I think it does lead to bad judgment when the constant message coming over the airwaves, whatever medium you're using, television, even just signing onto the internet, the first page, the message is, we have to sell you this, and therefore we have to evoke this emotion. Therefore,
You have to look like this in order to be loved and accepted.
Sure.
You have to look like this. Mal aire is, I believe that when it becomes dusk, children might come down with a cold. If they're outside, they might get sick. Mm-hmm. But really what the Aztecs were saying, though, even they didn't have a microscope, what they were saying is that there are germs outside that people can catch. And it was misinterpreted, so it seemed kind of silly. You know, don't go out there because the air is bad. A lot of it was lost in the translation.
Mm. So what metaphor are they evoking when they evoke malaria, when they evoke the bat? Why were you asked to come in?
That even though they didn't have microscopes, there's germs out there. And maybe you'll catch a cold. Maybe you'll catch something.
So it's the first aspect of environmental health.
Of course. You know, if you're outside with a, you know, with a larger group of people, you're more likely to catch something.
Susto seems to be a syndrome that I noticed in your book. What is that, and how does that relate to Western medicine as it's practiced, or traditional psychiatry?
Well, I'm a psychiatric nurse, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I have a master's in psychiatric nursing, and I have worked in many inpatient mental institutions. And so there is quite a difference between susto and post-traumatic stress syndrome. Susto is not post-traumatic stress syndrome. First of all, there's two different medicines, Western medicine and indigenous medicine. Second of all, we don't treat a diagnosis, we treat the person. But susto, metaphorically speaking, is when we get off our path by whatever reason, when we were children or teenagers, or when something so traumatic happens to us that we change our basic essence of how we were born, our personalities, our gifts, our the things that make us us, that changes and we become something else. If we were sexually abused, we might decide that sex is bad, so we become frigid. We never learn how to be sensual or sexual. Or we might go to extremes and be promiscuous. So it's something that is so bad, so traumatic for us, that it changes our course.
And how would this be treated?
Well, it depends on the person's story. And I really believe that we have to do a soul retrieval that is so personal to that particular person. But there's certain things that are important. One of them is to call back that person's name. The name, our name is very attached to our soul, who we are. First of all, we hear it so many times since we're babies. And we get very sensitive to the way that we're called. My mother used to call me inside. I love to be outside. So she would start out really nice, you know. Elenita, ya métete. And that tone didn't mean anything to me. What it meant was I still have about 10, 15 minutes.
Let's get literal here.
So I tell my friends, don't worry, I don't have to go inside yet. And then she'd come back, you know, 5 minutes later, Elena, ya métete. And I tell my friends, we have more time.
Uh-huh. Boundaries, huh?
It's not until she came out yelling, you know, okay, I've got to go. But when we call the soul in, we call our soul back very gently. It's such a precious thing that has gotten, quote, lost from us. So we call our soul. So I might say to you, Ruben, ya vengase, mijito. Mm-hmm. Come home. Time to come home.
In what sort of environment would you start this process? What sort of relationship?
The most perfect environment would be where the actual trauma happened. If we can take that person back to that place, but it's not always possible, so I do most of my ceremonies in my healing room and in retreats, several days retreat. We do it at the conference place where we're at. And we get quite dramatic. We include a lot of music. We include a lot of visuals. We might, my students and I might dress up. We make it into a beautiful environment for that person to bring back their soul.
Again, if you've just turned in, we're listening to Stage Health on Call. We can be reached for a conversation, 277-5866 in the Albuquerque area. And if you're outside the area, 1-877-899-5866.
Elena, in your book, Woman Who Glows in the Dark, you make a distinction between soul and spirit. Can you discuss this distinction?
The reason I made that distinction, it's really all one. I mean, we are of one essence. Our bodies, emotions, soul, spirit, and mind are one. But for the sake of explanation for our left brain, the way that I see soul is we all have our spiritual fingerprints. I am Elena, and there's nobody exactly like me. My soul has its unique talents and creativities. And unless I had many, many traumas and didn't heal them, I am headed toward my potential. My soul is present. Spirit is the part of us that's the envelope, that's the energetic field, it's the aura that carries us. It's the result of what we eat, what we think, what we feel, and the condition of our body. And so it creates an energy. We're all energy. We're all atoms and molecules and space. So the spirit is the one that connects to something bigger than us, which some of us call God.
Mm. Yes, the Indian Hindu tradition has the Atman, which is the individual spirit, and the Brahman, which is the universal spirit. Is it somewhat akin to that?
It's very similar to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when our spirit is very dusty, when we are going through whatever we're going through, we're not in touch with our spirit. It's very difficult to feel spiritual, to feel that universal oneness with others.
Mm-hmm. And I also liked what you said in your book about the fact that soul retrieval, the soul doesn't actually leave the body, but during very traumatic events, parts of our soul get repressed.
Yes.
And so there's a distinction there.
That's right, because we speak in metaphors, and so when we say it's lost, and we've been misinterpreted, you know, we have sounded kind of silly, like, what do you mean lost, you know? But that's what we mean. We have made that part of us unavailable. If we were sexually abused, perhaps our sexuality or sensuality is not available.
Mm-hmm. And can you give us an example of a patient that has gone through a soul retrieval and what actually resulted from that process? Do you remember a patient that?
Well, there's just so many beautiful stories. One that I mentioned in the book, one particular woman that didn't know she was Hispanic. She was raised by Anglo parents. She was adopted when she was very small. So one of the wonderful things that happens is we did a search, and she was able to find her Hispanic family. So that was so heart-rending. I went with her when she met all her cousins and uncles and really started another journey learning her roots, her ancestral roots.
Yes.
Okay, good morning. We have a caller, Leah in Albuquerque. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Thank you.
It's great to hear from both of you, skilled people in medicine and different perspectives. So I guess my curiosity would be, I was a victim of a car accident, as many people are in New Mexico. How would you two, Ruben and Elena, think of a way to treat a traumatic injury in a more holistic way? Suppose someone, like I was hit by a car, you know, unconscious, and they did the sewing up and the surgery they needed to do, but what would be your vision of something that would be also deal with, you know, I felt like my life could have been lost at that point, so what would be an integrated way that you would think of?
Leah, before we ask Elena, I do need to just say here for KUNM that we can't prescribe really over the radio. I'm sure you're aware of that. So, because everything's so individual.
No, my God.
With that said, I would like to so much hear what Elena would say for you.
Well, I have treated a lot of people that have gone through car accidents, and one of the most important things is our body. So we need to make sure that we have taken care of our body. So that's important. Are there any broken bones? Is there a concussion? Give the body time to heal. And so then what I would do is I would schedule a soul retrieval and a ceremony to bring back that part of you that got frozen in that time and space when that split second before the impact where you literally did not know what was going to happen to you. And that's what we call a susto. That part of us is almost like suspended. It holds its breath. And we treat that as susto, and we help you bring back that part of you so that you don't take that part into other things and become too fearful, become too immobilized by your trauma. You want to go on with your life.
It's very interesting when an accident occurs, and I think the one directive that I use to myself is put myself in the position of the patient who has sustained the accident. And this goes to other sorts of medical conditions as well, in terms of your own family members and their particular cancers or their particular illnesses that come upon them. And just having that in the back of the practitioner's mind makes it a lot easier to then translate the shock, the trauma, all these things that are, in effect, metaphorically creating that soul-grabbing, soul disruption. It may be a softening of the voice. It may be a further detailed explanation of what's going to happen in that trauma room. A lot's going to happen. You mentioned being knocked unconscious. A lot is going on without you perhaps fully being aware, but then you wake up in this very disorganized, disorientating environment. And how one interacts with the healthcare practitioner community that moment is going to really affect how you perceive yourself now, healthcare, and even trying to get one's life back together.
That's why I really believe in integrative medicine, because we really all should be working as a team. The physicians in the emergency room are so skilled in, at taking care of you, making sure that everything is okay. Then whatever else that you might need, the curandera might come in and work on your little heart, your little soul, and what happened to you, to that that aspect of you. And then perhaps you might later on need a chiropractor to adjust you and make sure that everything's okay. And perhaps the tension might be relieved by a good massage. And there's so many ways that you can heal by having this group of integrative healers that can put you back on your own road.
And this is Dr. Weiss. In my practice, I would also use classical homeopathy, which is was a study that was actually done out of Harvard that showed that it was effective in treating traumatic brain injury. And also we have wonderful remedies to treat shock and trauma in homeopathy as well, which work on a very deep level.
Okay, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sage Health on Call on KUNM. And you can call and join us in the conversation locally. The numbers are 277-5866. And if you're out of the Albuquerque area or listening on the online, you can still call in 1-877-899-5866. It's a toll-free number. At the October 2006 Integrative Medicine Conference, at which Elena was one of the presenters, Elena Avila, who's our guest here today, we also interviewed several of the other presenters and attendees. And here is a part of the interview that we did with Deborah Brandt, who is a holistic health nurse and herbalist from Las Cruces, New Mexico.
I see people in consultation and as a walk-in clinic. I have an apothecary. I go out and gather a lot of my own herbs, make medicines, and I make individual formulas. I do a lot of consulting and serve as a bridge between traditional and Western medicine and help people try to integrate the prescription drugs along with herbal drugs, because quite often people say, oh, you know, this is going to interact, and they think of it as a negative, but quite often it's a beneficial interaction where you don't have to take as much or high a dose of a pharmaceutical when you can complement it with an herbal that has similar action. Antibiotics are like one side of the coin. They kill bacteria, but you're not dealing with your immune system, and you have to have an adequate immune response to be able to fight off infection also. There are certain herbs like myrrh, echinacea, and others that actually stimulate the immune response so that you have a better chance of resisting an infection. Immune stimulant herbs such as echinacea and antibiotics are a very good combination. And echinacea, if it's just gray instead of dark green and doesn't have any taste to it, then you're not getting a quality product. The root and flower head of echinacea is the most powerful part. Although echinacea is mostly water-soluble, you want to be sure of the quality and the parts that are used. Yes, in New Mexico we have some sage, but we also have artemisia, which is wormwood, and people often confuse the two. True sage, the salvia, is used in like smudge sticks and ceremonial, for example, but so is the artemisia, the wormwood. They both are used and they have a similar smell, but they have very different actions. The wormwood, for example, is increases secretions, like say in a sweat or if you have a fever. But sage, on the other hand, even though it smells similarly, decreases secretions. So you have to be careful with nursing mothers who could possibly take wormwood, but they wouldn't want to take sage, for example. Well, another good combination is milk thistle or the silymarin, along with pharmaceuticals that are liver toxic, because silymarin is hepatoprotective. It means it protects the liver. And certain classifications of drugs like birth control pills and seizure medications often cause elevated liver enzymes, and people quite often have to go off of them. So taking silymarin, which protects the liver, you can often stay on these drugs and protecting your liver at the same time. I often use one of our native plants down there as a chaparral, the Laurea tridentata, and that has very good antioxidant effects, and it helps prevent against skin damage, since so southern New Mexico and Arizona have a lot of skin cancers. So chaparral, I make a salve, an oil out of that, and it helps. It doesn't protect against sunburn, but it helps protect against oxidative damage from the sun. Chaparral in low doses is good, mostly as a bitter, because it helps with fat digestion. If someone's been on a low-fat diet and they start taking a lot of fats in their diet again, they often have to slowly integrate that. And chaparral is a tincture, just as a few drops with meals, not a high dose, because it could potentially be liver toxic, will help with fat assimilation.
You're listening to Sage Health on Call on KUNM 89.9 on your FM dial and www.kunm.org on the web. Phone numbers to call and join the conversation about curanderismo in the 21st century with our guest in the studio, Elena Avila, are 277-5866 locally here in Albuquerque, and the toll-free number to call is 1-877-899-5866.
Okay, we have some callers here for Elena Avila. The first is Miguel from Santa Fe. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a question now. I'm from Santa Fe, and I'd like to know more about herbs. I grew up in the mountains, but I bought a book, right, but I can't really identify, like, for instance, like columbine and other herbs, and when to pick them up, when not to take them, when to leave them. I just get information of their number or something. How I can get in contact with her?
Well, for me personally, this is Elena. I'm not an herbalist. The woman you were listening to is an herbalist.
Mm-hmm.
I have two herbs that I use for my ceremonies, but we have specialties in curanderismo, and that's not one of them. But what I can tell you is that it is very important that you know where these herbs are coming from if you're going to use them. Some herbs that come from China or Mexico have mm-hmm. a lot of lead or pesticides.
Around here. There's some useful on here.
Yes, the ones. I'm sure that there are some very good books that perhaps Ruben knows about, some books that he can refer you to.
I really have not consulted much in terms of herbs. It's really far out of my specialty. But
yeah,
the person who was talking is Deborah Brandt out of Las Cruces. And
yes.
She, not only does she harvest, search for and prepare the various combinations.
Which is the best way.
Absolutely. And this is a kind of endeavor that I think does require a trained eye, similar to mushrooming. It's not anything that you really should just take out of a book.
Right.
It requires someone who's apprenticed and trained.
Yes.
And I think she runs courses in that. She's out of Las Cruces.
Does she have a book, Ruben?
I don't know if she herself has a book. Again, this is not something that anyone, I think, should just take on with a book alone.
Uh-huh.
I think it requires consultation.
And if you're up in Santa Fe, I suggest calling Herbs Etc. Mm-hmm. Daniel Gagnon is an excellent herbalist, and he is a great resource and would probably be able to help you with what they call them herb walks, where they actually go out and identify plants. And so I would call Daniel at Herbs Etc. in Santa Fe.
Okay, great. We have another caller. Donna from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
I would call
Donna?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Fine. Welcome to the
Good
program.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. It's a beautiful morning here in Las Vegas. We have like a foot of pristine snow on the ground.
Oh.
It's really great, but I had to dig out to get my dog. Is Elena there and available to talk with?
Here yes. I am.
She's our main
Elena.
Guest.
Hi, Donna.
Well, I am very interested in finding out if you have a mentorship or some sort of program where you work with people who are sensitive, like myself, somebody who I'm working with healing with crystals and essential oils and just energies, moving energies along. If you have some sort of significant educational access that we could like come up and work with you or mentor with you or
yes, I do have apprentices, and once a year I have a seminar, at Ghost Ranch in February, a lot of medical practitioners, from physicians to massage therapists,
right,
come, and I take them through the course and learning how to do pláticas and limpias and soul retrievals.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I am already full for this February. But you can go to my website and look at my calendar. My webpage is Elena, Elena-curandera.com. It has my email as well. And if you don't remember all that, just go to Google and put Elena Avila Curandera, and they'll take you to my website.
That'll probably be easier for me. Thanks.
And good luck. Good luck on your journey.
Well, thank you. I wanted to know if you ever do what? I guess it is kind of a Reiki sort of healing, a soul retrievals without the person present, actually.
No, there. For me, it's very important that I do face-to-face healing.
Uh-huh.
So I don't do any healings over the phone.
My son's in prison, and that's why I ask.
Yes, and it has to be very much a volunteer in a volunteer basis, and actually I'm a guide, so it's very important that that person take responsibility for their own healing process, and that person has to work just as hard as I do, so it's a 50-50.
And do you spell your last name Avilla or
one L?
Yes, good. Avila. And in the situation, I mean, I know that it was a long time ago where there was some date rape involved in my life, and I was just writing about it last night, and also being very gentle with myself and getting it on the page. And then, you know, are there some ceremonies that we can do on our own, you know, that will help us until, like, we could get a session with you? Or because there is
Very definitely. There's many ceremonies you can do on your own. I will refer you to my book, Woman Who Glows in the Dark. I have many examples.
The Woman Who Glows in the Dark.
Yes. And also I'm writing another book, and I'm going to have a whole chapter on that as well, because you very much can be your own curandera, and there's many ceremonies you can do on your own.
Right. I was very inspired by your message that we are all one in essence. We are all energies that are interrelated and interconnected, and that especially in our own bodies, when we can take responsibility for that.
I think that's where we need to start.
Right.
Because
there is a whole generation of people like myself, an entire generation of sexual abuse out there, of people who, you know, they'll come into my store and we'll talk and we'll start doing some work, and it is flat out amazing to me.
Believe me, I was the director of the Albuquerque Rape Crisis Center for 4 years.
So
I know firsthand, and that is such a soul loss when that happens to children and to adults.
I look forward to meeting you in person.
I do too. Thank you, and bless you.
And bless you too. I wanted to speak a little to the doctor of homeopathic medicine, if he's available, if I could just speak to him for a moment.
Yes.
I know you might have people lining up to talk.
Yes, we do have another caller, too.
Yes, if it's a quick question, we can get to you.
It is a quick question. And what is his name?
Dr. Stephen Weiss.
Okay, Stephen Weiss. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Donna.
Donna, I was wondering, in the distribution, I'm taking both Arnica and Hypericum.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you if I can take them actually both together, or if it is actually better to take them like 15 minutes or 20 minutes apart.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not allowed to give medical advice on this show. You really have to either consult me in my private practice or consult somebody up in your area. Unfortunately, that's the way the show is set up.
But, Stephen, you can give out phone numbers.
Okay, my office number is allowed. 505 here in Albuquerque, 872-2611.
Okay, Donna, thank you for your call. And we have another caller, Catherine in Magdalena. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
I really appreciate you what you're doing this morning. And I want to ask this question. I am pretty much convinced that a lot of my problem is what they call electrosensitivity.
it's recognized as a disability in Sweden. And I learned most of my information from a website in the UK, because in the United States, nobody is talking about what wireless technology, cell phones, etc., do to sensitive people. And I am really curious if you have noticed that the plant world, the healing world, is also affected by the electromagnetic field excess at this time. And I don't know where to go to get relief, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
Okay. This is Dr. Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Catherine. Actually, I'm also somewhat sensitive to electromagnetic fields, so I can empathize with you. I think that, yes, absolutely. I mean, even though they are not, cannot be seen with the naked eye or touched, you know, they are a force. They are an energy. And just like radio waves, I mean, that's how you're hearing us from, you know, all the way in Magdalena.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are affecting us because of the traumas that we've all undergone, because of the pollution. I mean, Elena talked about the spirit being our aura, and actually there's holes in our aura. And so that's literally what is happening, is that we all, you know, the people who are sensitive and have holes in their aura, and they're becoming more, just like the you know, the ozone layer has a hole in it.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, there are ways to protect you, such as, you know, using an earpiece for your cell phone. And I find that using a cordless phone affects me. I actually use a speaker phone as much as I can.
I don't use any of the high-tech stuff because it hurts me.
Yeah, and there are magnetic bracelets I've just heard about just a few weeks ago that can protect you. And so if you call my office, I can give out some more information.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm especially interested in what curanderos are finding out in the normal plant environment, in the normal healing environment. You know,
well,
I know it affects more than just human beings.
Well, of course. It affects all of us. So there's no doubt about it. But since I am not an herbalist, I can't really tell you exactly what other curanderos that are herbalists are going through and what they're discovering, so I can't really help you with that.
One thing I would like to add to this is we had a program on Sage Health on Call in January of 2005, and we asked Linda Thompson, who is a nurse at Freedom High School here in Albuquerque, what she thought was the largest mental health problem with teenagers nowadays, because she's right in there in the trenches working with the teenagers. And she felt it was the cell phones. I mean, I expected her, I didn't know what I thought she was going to say. But she says, you know, these kids, they don't go to the restroom without making 4 phone calls, and they come back with, and she felt that they were all unable to finish their sentences, and she thought it was biological, not just psychological. So I think that is a field to pursue, although we're talking with Elena Avila here today, and we're talking about curanderisma, which is a little bit different, and really, although it affects the body in a different, the focus is a little bit different. And so thank you for that call. And Elena, I think I want you to pursue a little bit more the difference between post-traumatic stress and the limpias that you were talking about, or the sustos.
The sustos.
Yeah.
Well, post-traumatic stress is a medical diagnosis that comes from Western medicine, and it has specific symptoms that you identify. If you have, let's say, 4 of these symptoms, you're suffering from post-traumatic stress. Post-traumatic stress is mental disorder that happens after going through wars or sexual abuse or physical abuse. With susto, it's more expansive. It doesn't necessarily have to be depression. Some people are very good at masking depression. It doesn't have to be insomnia. It's much more personalized. In other words, you have to get that person's story and what meaning they gave to that traumatic event, and very much take into account how their soul and spirit were affected. And then not prescribe medication for it, but actually do a ceremony that helps that person reunite with that lost part of themselves.
Okay, thank you. We have another caller, John in Albuquerque. Welcome to the program. John? Okay, it looks like we lost John in Albuquerque. I do want to say that you're listening to Sage Health on Call. You're listening to Elena Avila, who is a curandera and also a psychiatric nurse, as many of you know. She's a strong force in our health community here in New Mexico. And it is time. We also have been interviewing people at the Integrative Health Medicine Conference that Elena spoke at in October that was put on by the UNM Department of Integrative Medicine, actually, with Dr. Arti Prasad. And so, Ruben, maybe you'd like to tell us about this.
Well, we were at the conference. And we had the opportunity to interview folks. And it's interesting that many of the physicians and healthcare providers were of all disciplines, and they're bringing back very natural medicines to their practices. In the first of our cameo sound portraits, we hear from Dr. Mark Radernick, a physician in private practice here in Albuquerque, who was a military doctor trained in plastic surgery. And he is bringing experiences he had in his travels to a more expansive integrative medicine practice. So why don't we hear what Dr. Radernick has to say.
This is John Clausen with today's Sage Health Sound Portrait. Today's portrait is Dr. Mark Radering, who shares with us his path from military plastic surgeon to holistic healthcare physician here in Albuquerque.
My wife and I were in, I guess, my last stop in the military station in Hawaii. And we grew to love the islands and really the magic of the islands. And through a set of circumstances, a friend of ours who was ill, and my wife, who had heard of a traditional Hawaiian healer there, did not know him or his students, but did get in contact with them. And our friend, who had been through a lot of more traditional Western treatment for a severe disease process, ended up seeing him. And through that series of events, we came to know this gentleman. He was an elderly man, 95, still seeing active clinics on all the islands, a master herbalist in traditional Hawaiian healing, and a lot of students. And we have seen, and I think through a series of over a couple years of spending time with him, really changed my entire focus. And my wife's also, she was a cancer clinical nurse specialist, does not do that anymore, is much more focused in energetic work, palliative care, things of that nature. So it really was that experience in Hawaii with this gentleman and his students, and we still are very much involved with them in their work. And even though our work isn't what they do, it's really the thinking. And I try to emphasize with people, if they come to see me, I may have some tools in my box, but they're tools I use, and I could have any of a number of tools. They should come to see me for who I am and the thinking process. And it's often, I think, comes up with between a Western perspective and various holistic alternative modalities. And it's not so much maybe the pharmaceuticals or the surgery. It's really the thinking process. And I think that's what really our teacher in Hawaii brought to us, and that's what I try to bring to my practice.
So, the nature-based Hawaiian healer strongly influenced Dr. Radernick and his wife, who is also a nurse. And we're happy to have them amongst us in our community.
Yeah, we have a very strong integrative health community here that we really appreciate. And we're speaking again with Elena Avila today, Dr. Stephen Weiss, and Dr. Ruben Last here in the studios of KUNM. The numbers to call in are 277-5866 or 1-877-899-5866. And we have another caller, Arlene in Española. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Good morning.
I'd like to speak to Elena.
Hi, Arlene.
Because I went saw your wonderful play that you used to do,
Tuyo. Tuyo.
Yes, and I wish you were still doing, performing some theater. But I wanted to say that here in Española at Northern New Mexico College, we have classes in herbal medicine. We have essential oils, acupressure therapy, cranial sacral therapy, mm-hmm. as well as a traditional nursing program. And I think the woman from Las Vegas might, if she's truly interested, we have people from just all over coming to teach these classes.
I know. I think it's so wonderful. Things have changed so much from where I was so young and started out my interest in curanderismo, and it wasn't well received. And throughout all these years, I have seen all this incredible change. So, yes, there's a lot of good things happening in Española.
I think they're recognizing that all of these things really should be integrated and become a part of the Western medicine program.
Yes, we as medical practitioners have the responsibility to offer many modalities to the people that come to serve us.
Northern New Mexico College is open tomorrow. If anybody is interested in calling, the number is 747-2100.
Okay, thank you, Arlene.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
A lot of the calls seem to be asking a lot about the herbal treatments and this aspect. I'm curious, someone who is seeking curandismo, what would they expect in the initial consultation? How would the interchange be conducted?
Well, there are specialties. So the partera is the one that delivers the babies. The sobadora is the one that does massage. For me, I work mostly with the emotional and the spiritual, the soul. And I am very good team worker, so that person also needs to go to see a physician, to go get Reiki or whatever else they need, or to go see an herbalist. You know, I have my group, my circle of people that I recommend. So I always see it as a team approach. I like to share something very personal that happened to me. What does it look like to receive integrative medicine? A few months ago, I felt intuitively that something was going on with me, and I went to see my regular doctor, Dr. Rios, and she's a wonderful physician. She listened to me, and my complaints were vague, but she latched on to one complaint, which was backache, and she says, well, you probably have arthritis, you know, at my age and so forth, just the wear and tear of the body, and she gave me anti-inflammatories. Well, I pretended to take them. Only because
I'm shocked.
Well, because I know my body, and I knew that I was going to get a lot of stomach.
As everybody else.
And stomach upset. Uh-huh. And I also had this strong feeling that there was something else. Uh-huh. So I went back and I said, they didn't work. Sorry, Dr. Trios. I hope she's not listening. So she then said, okay, then I'm going to send you to a rheumatologist. Uh-huh. And the rheumatologist was so kind, and she said, let's do an MRI. Because I didn't have to go through all the red tape of getting an MRI. And in the MRI, yes, they found that I did have some arthritis of the lower lumbar area, but they also could see the kidney, and they saw a tumor. From there, the wonderful technology of Western medicine, they did an ultrasound, then they did a CAT scan with contrasting dye, and then they sent me to a wonderful urologist, Dr. Michael Martinez, and he said that there was a chance that I might have cancer in my kidney. They couldn't do a biopsy because if they do take out the specimen, it might spread. So I had to have surgery. I was under the impression that I would just have half my kidney taken out. When I woke up, they had to remove all my kidney. I received wonderful care. I was in intensive care 5 days. I received wonderful care. The nurses were great about Hispanic families. You know, it's like 10 minutes every hour. Forget that. I had the whole family in there. And they were great about that. They took really good care of me. But I saw my community and my family all of a sudden take care of me. My daughter spent a week. My sister spent a week. Everybody took turns. They never left me alone. I had physician friends come and take care of me. I had Rolfer friends come and take care of me. Two curanderas that by bus, came by bus all the way from Mexico, and they took care of me. They gave me a soul retrieval. They gave me a limpia. They cleansed the whole house. I was taken care of constantly until I could take care of myself. Everybody took turns. I had the whole community. I also had prayer circles in Europe because I teach there throughout the United States. In Mexico, I had thousands of people praying for me. So I am doing fine now. I just had a CAT scan. It showed no progression of the disease. They got it all. And
that's wonderful.
My community healed me.
It's true holistic healing.
That's right. That's what true holistic healing is.
Oh, that is so wonderful, isn't it? You're very, very, very blessed.
I am.
Yeah.
What you get, what you put out comes back to you.
Yeah. We have another caller in Albuquerque. Rose, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to take the opportunity to address all of the practitioners. I'm a student, pre-med student, and I very much have the goal of practicing integrative medicine, but I was wondering about if you guys would all mind sharing your opinion in regards to fundamentals that you think up-and-coming medical students should have as a basis, just to really bring this into a reality and make it mainstream and accessible to, you know, everyone. So if I could just get some feedback on that, I'd appreciate that.
Yes. Hi, Rose. This is Dr. Stephen Weiss. The way I did it was to take as many electives as I could in integrative and holistic disciplines, because you'll get some of it in medical school, but really to take advantage of the elective system and go follow your heart, follow your bliss, find things that you're really interested in, either curanderismo or whatever it is that lights your fire, and study with somebody, even just for a week or two, just to get a hint of what they do. And then you can then, do more study and further study with them in the future, and read as much as you can and be open and talk, and things are shifting. I see it. We were just talking earlier with Elena how things are shifting. And so don't be afraid to talk about what your truth.
Definitely. Actually, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree, and I'm pursuing that. But just in the vision that making it become more mainstream so that, I mean, I know that maybe not all practitioners won't, make the choice to integrate different modalities, but just so, the future of medicine is, we create in our educational system and our medical education system.
Well, don't forget about heart heals heart.
Yes.
Don't forget about that. Don't ever get to a place where you feel that you're above that patient because
absolutely.
Because heart does heal heart. And so listen to their stories and be compassionate for what they're going through.
We want to thank Elena Avila, our guest today, because that is certainly the beginning and the full circle of health and healing is heart healing heart. We also want to thank Dr. Reuben Last and Dr. Stephen Weiss and our KUNM engineers, John Burgund and Dr. Bob Dubin. Thank you all for listening. And there is a wonderful integrative medicine department at the University of New Mexico. So please, if you're interested, look that department up. Next month on February 11th, our pre-Valentine's Day program will feature a fabulous relationship coach. Her name is Dr. Suzanne Lopez. She's a national columnist, and she's an author of Get Smart with Your Heart. I'm Halima Christie, and in the words of Mahatma Gandhi, to honor this Monday's Martin Luther King birthday anniversary, nonviolence is like radium in its action, says Gandhi. An infinitesimal quantity of it embedded in a malignant growth acts continuously, silently, and ceaselessly till it has transformed the whole mass of the diseased tissue into a healthy one. Similarly, even a little of true and real nonviolence acts in a subtle, silent, and unseen way and leavens the whole society. Salud.